And it's my great honor and pleasure for me to have a chance to make a presentation together with prominent figures. I'd like to introduce my co-author, Ingu Kwan, who is the current president of KPHA, Korean Public Health Association. So I'd like to introduce only one small iceberg of Korean PHA's activities. So firstly, health system, healthcare, and health accounts. It's a general one. I think this picture may be familiar to all of you. It comes out in the World Health Report Millennium Version. So it shows the goals and functions of healthcare system. So mainly the health, so public health status, improvement, that's the primary goal of healthcare systems. This shows the functions of a healthcare system. Particularly, I'm focusing on the financing side. This was introduced in the just introduced the system of health accounts. That's the some criteria based on which the to show the flows of health expenditure in one country. So there is a new version, new manual, System of Health Accounts 2011 version shows this picture. As you may know, all the natural history of disease, finally low risk, at risk, this level, and then instance of a disease, and then disability, a chronic condition, a dependency, and then finally everyone died. That's the natural history of a disease, episode of a disease. Following this history of a disease, there are some cares given. For example, at this level, health promotion, promotional care, at this level, curative care, and rehabilitative care, maintenance, and palliative care. This history of disease and the care of episode of care, the system of health accounts explains those aspects through the flows of money. The healthcare system component, health accounts dimension, and finally the objectives of health, such things. So based on this idea, I'd like to introduce the at first, the health status and the health behavior in the case of Korea, and then what kind of activities has been done by the Korean Public Health Association and also together with the Asia-Pacific Public Health Association. Very briefly, as a final primary goal of health, the life expectancy at birth, Korea currently is 81 years. Yes? Compared to the OECD average of 80, it's slightly higher than the OECD average and much higher than the other big developing countries like South Africa. It's only 52, China 73, etc. This is a rather good size, but you know that this life expectancy at birth is not ascribed to the good performance of healthcare system. So infant mortality rate, Korea about 3 babies among 1,000 live births die in 1 year. This is lower than the OECD average of 4.1 and much, much lower than the other countries like India is 47, etc. But this shows that maybe Korean healthcare system performs not so bad. So, because infant mortality rate is much related with the performance of the healthcare system. Obese among adults, Korea, Japan, together with Japan, only 4% of the adults belongs to the obese people. When I arrived United States here, some years, a few days ago, I found that so many people from our perspective a little bit well built. So United States, about OECD figure says that one third they are belonging to obese. So adult population smoking rate, Korean people 23%, the OECD average is 20%. But this is the average of male and female, but when you focus on the male case, we belong to this level. So more than 40-50% of adults, male, small. It's a higher level. Alcohol consumption, about on average. So I like to, the just before on the survey, there was the tobacco is a high priority issue. Fortunately, I took that issue and linked that with the financing of public health program in the case of Korea, and also activity of Korean Public Health Association. Tobacco tax earmarked for health promotion fund, we have health promotion fund, per pack of cigarettes. It was in 1997 first started to levy 2-1, which is a very small amount, only 0.2 US cent. But it was augmented 5 years later, 0.15 US dollar per pack of cigarette. And then 2004, it has increased quite a lot to 0.35 US dollar. So from that time, this expenditure side started to increase. But this is the share of expenditure for prevention and public health in current health expenditure. It's total expenditure of the of our country, this the SHA SHAR concept. So this means the among total current health expenditure, about less than 2% was used for prevention and public health. But since then, the with the help of the revenue increase through the tobacco tax, it increased so fast, become the more than, higher than the OECD average of 30%. But it stagnated for the last 5 years because it has not been augmented. So finally, the government decided to increase the tobacco tax to almost $1 per pack from next year. It's not yet determined. It's just on the table of the parliament nowadays. So it's now, you know, a big issue in our parliament members. So there was some rationale to augment tobacco taxes. So the Korean Public Health Association's activity for that, that's what I wanted to show you in this presentation. Korean Health Plan 2020 sets the goal to lower smoking rate of male adults from the current 44% male case in 2012 to 29%, less than 30% by 2020. That's the goal. So rationale for pricing policy, smoking rate is that the smoking rate decreased from 58% in 2004 to 50% 2005 and 45% 2006 since the price increase in 2004. This experience, historical experience, has a good provided good evidence for the new augmentation of price, tobacco tax, and tobacco price. So there are some other non-pricing policies, but this price policy has two meanings. One, price increase will decrease the smoking rate, and another one is price increase will augment the public funds, which can be used for many kinds of public health programs. This was the picture utilized for, as the rationale for the augmentation of price, tobacco price. As this picture shows, mainly among OECD countries, the tobacco price, in the case of Korea, only $2 per pack, so low currently. Some other countries more than $10. So male smoking rate is the opposite side. So there is the negative correlation between the two. This is the used for the some rationale, as I mentioned. So Korean Public Health Association's role for tobacco tax was like this. Developing and providing with theories and logics for the necessity of price increase of cigarettes. Second, correspondence columns for of mass media by the KPHA member professors to increase awareness among policymakers and the public. And proclaiming public announcements supporting the tobacco tax increasing policy in major mass media. And mobilizing partnership and actions among groups and associations related with public health. This is some evidence, you know. The Korean Public Health Association members proclaiming public announcements supporting the tobacco tax increase policy in major mass media like SBS, CNBC in Korea, Today Economies, and many other mass medias. And another one, finally, I'd like to show this one. This was the last year there was a APCPH convened in Korea. And while they were there for the meeting, there was some expression of a deep worry over Korean Supreme Court's verdict on tobacco's effect on the health. So this was the report of the mass media, Jungang Daily Mail. This is the second largest audience mass media, and other Dong-A, this is the fourth largest one. So that's kind of activities I like show. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we've had four very interesting presentations, and I think they've certainly shown the diversity of activities carried out by public health associations. We've got examples of public associations very much involved in initiatives to increase access to essential public health or essential health services, primarily public health services. But we've also got an example of a public health association that's sort of gone beyond that, and I think really pushing the limits of public health and of what is a public health approach to some really structural issues that affect the public's health. I'd like to throw we've got about 15 minutes left. I'm just doing that, really didn't have my watch on. We have about 15 minutes left in the presentation, and I'd like to ask the four speakers if they'd come up to the table here and then ask the audience if they have any questions that they would like to pose, or if our colleagues would just like to have a conversation among themselves about what they have talked about. So any questions? Hey, Leticia, please introduce yourself first and then ask your question. Yeah, that verdict happened. It was the 5th Asia-Pacific Public Health Conference. And so the public health associations from the Asia-Pacific region and WFPHA were at your conference. It was a fantastic conference. And the verdict was handed down. We were stunned that the Supreme Court basically said there was no evidence to support the link between smoking and cancer. And I don't know if your judges are all smokers. I have no idea. But we did, at the Korean Public Health Association's request, we basically made a joint statement just saying, what the heck is going on? So what's happened out of that since?
Yeah, well, one thing I'd like to mention is just last year, such a verdict was on the individual suit, but now we have single-payer system, National Health Insurance Service, NHIS, as a single-payer big organization, officially made a suit against tobacco companies. It was reported, supported by WHO, etc. So this worldwide, you know, attention is now on the process. It's now going on. It's a big concern in our society.
Yes, sir. Please identify yourself first. Welcome.
My question is specific for you. We follow Canada very closely. We're very interested in that kind of approach. And similar to you, at least in my reading of what's happening in Canada, we're in our third term of a conservative government who funds our PHA largely. And I'm just interested in your experiences in terms of your funding and your independence in relation to
Actually, our Prime Minister is with your Prime Minister right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
So, I don't have the numbers exactly right, but let's just say, not that many, I'll speak just because my voice isn't carried. Not that many years ago, we were a $34 million annual organization in terms of our global programs, primarily immunization, and they were all federal contracts. And we had a large footprint in a very large office building, and we had
75 employees. That you might want to mention is the current, it's very interesting, we have the Canada Revenue Service, which supposedly is an arm's length government body that oversees taxation, and under their rules and regulations, and Lynn referred to it, it's called the 10% rule, And basically, we are only allowed, our advocacy has to only, I can't remember the exact wording, help me out there, it was like something about...
You lose your charitable status if more than 10%
of your budget is spent on any advocacy. Yeah. And it is amazing what is considered political advocacy. So, and several NGOs are actually under investigation at the moment by CRA, and interestingly, although the government claims there's no political influence on that decision, every one of the organizations that is under investigation right now by CRA have come out in opposition to government policy. Not one that has supported the government is under investigation. But there's no political interference. Any other questions? Please, Paul.
Thank you all for very interesting presentations. I want to pose a question to Mengistu. Gains in Ethiopia have really been very, very good, it seems, and better than I had imagined. But I wondered where does Ethiopia sit within the African continent as far as public health statistics and mortality rates and the like, and what's still needed in Ethiopia? We had three or four major choices to make. What are the critical needs in Ethiopia today?
Thank you very much. I mean, it's a very good question. First of all, in terms of the statistics within Africa, the past few years there is an improvement in terms of change. Well, we were almost in those the least countries even within Africa, and in the past 4 or 5 years we have shown a great improvement into that one. And not only showing that great improvement, but most African countries are taking the opportunity to learn what were the major issues for those changes. And in the past few months, I personally was part of a lot of experience sharing visits from fellow African countries to learn in terms of specifically our community-based improvement in health services. And one thing probably is primary health care, which was the 1967 declared, still works after 35 years. And that's the major issue, connecting between the health system versus the community system and bringing about that overlap to be more and more rather than having a parallel thing into that one. I don't probably have exactly the level of where we stand in terms of the percentage, but we have seen a huge improvement into that. Well, I think sustaining the gains is one most important thing which is there. Some of the things which we are looking at is like local governments are putting resources into sustaining those gains rather than only dependent on external funding and external resources. That makes a big difference. For some of the activities, probably it may not be like huge resource put, but even putting a budget line item means whenever you have a better level of resources, you can put that one. One thing which is there is annually the health budget share from the overall GDP is increasing, but we still have a long way in terms of reaching the Abuja declaration of the 15%. Very few countries have reached to that level, but the last figure was like 10-11%, but we still need to work in terms of that. One major issue which is there is like the community level services primarily is not dependent on a voluntary type of activity. Rather, the government is putting its own resources into that one as creating an accountable system, and those community level workers are under the payroll of the health system. Rather than in the past, we had successful programs with volunteers, but when program ends, that was not possible to continue. So that's something which is there.
Any other questions? Yes, please, Ehud.
I'd like to make a comment.
Sorry, can you introduce yourself first?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm the way, seeking to go away from being affected by politics towards something that is standards-based, that is performance-based, and sort of moving us as public health professionals from being seen as ideologically oriented and more seen as more professionally oriented, delivering on the standards, and therefore it might be harder for them to cut down on the monies that they give us or affecting us by their policies.
Anyone want to answer that? Are comments on that? No? Good. Okay. We've reached our 4 o'clock. Is there any one burning question remaining? I don't want to cut anybody off if you have one. If not, I would ask you to please, with me, applaud and thank our 4 speakers. And I would like to thank all of you for being here. It's, I think, a very interesting overview of the Public Health Association's movement. As Mengistu mentioned, we're having the 14th World Congress on Public Health in Calcutta in February. The WFPHA exhibit is downstairs right under the international sign, and there is information about the Congress at the exhibit, or go online to the World Congress on Public Health site. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.